co-author of Younger Next Year, which is going to become the survival guide of the Vital Life Nation. And also, this is one that the Washington Post, I says, what did they say, Chris? They said witty, hilarious, mind-numbing, rocking. And you, if you take a look at Chris's books, there are thousands of people who have picked up that single book and said, this has changed my life. So without much further ado, we're going to take the gentleman who's graduated from Harvard, University of Virginia Law School. And what's a lawyer doing writing about a book to make us young, fit, and sexy and younger next year? I don't know. But when you meet Chris Crowley, you'll know. So please introduce Chris Crowley.
I start off these talks, and I give a bunch of them, with two numbers. And they sound extreme. We all have screens to screen out baloney in our lives. We get all these ads and all this junk, all these lies that we're told all day long. And we have a device to sort of screen them out so we don't hear stuff. These two numbers with which I start sound just like that. They sound like something you'd see in the headlines in the newspapers you get at the checkout counter in the supermarket. Except for one thing, they are absolutely true. With that warm-up, here you go. 70% of aging is voluntary, and you don't have to go there. You really, really don't. 70%. 30% we're stuck with. 30% is biological. Your skin's going to get goofy like mine. Your hair's going to go. Your maximum heart rate's going to go down a certain number of beats every year. Your libido's going to tail off and tank. Dreadful things, all of them. But it's only 30%. And the other 70%, you have an extraordinary degree of control over. 50% of all the serious illness and accidents that most people in this country have from the day they turn 50 till the day they die can be skipped altogether. With all the pain and misery and lost joy and ferocious expense that goes with them. The controller of the currency, or some guy like that the other day said, the thing that could bankrupt America is soaring health care costs. I didn't know they were allowed to bankrupt America, but apparently it's possible, and it's going to be health care costs that's going to do it. Basic stuff you have to know about. We have this extraordinary signaling system inside our bodies. Trillions and trillions of messages all day long, going all over the place, every single cell. More than all the internet, all of the television, radio, telephone companies in the world, just inside a single body. Amazing system, and this transmission is enormously subtle and complex. Quite a system. But the message is very simple. It's always one of two things, grow or atrophy, grow or decay. When you're a kid, the default message in the absence of anything else is to grow. And it sets up this tide of growth inside your body. And every year, no matter what you do, you get a little stronger, cuter, more sexual, more trouble to your parents, more coordinated, more athletic. The tide just carries you along. Even if you're a bad kid and eat junk, you get stronger in every way. Then, as some of you in the room are old enough to know, the tide goes flat. And then in a heartbeat, the tide turns the other way, and the default signal is to decay. And that sets up a tide in your body as well. There are only three pictures in the book. They're graphs. And up here, this axis is healthy, and along the bottom is dead. And you start out at 50, and there's a slow, steady decline every year, a little fatter, a little less amusing, less sexual, more grumpy, more pain-racked. Until you go over the waterfall. It's a pathetic image, and I'm sorry to have to start the talk by referring to it. If you do a few things, if you send different signals over the same signaling system consistently, you can change that curve radically, and that's what we're all here to talk about. You can be about the same woman or man that you were at 45 or 50 until you are 80 and beyond, and then you go over the waterfall. The signaling system, take a minute to talk about the background. This is one of the interesting things in the book, I think. The signaling system is a food and energy allocation system devised in the Darwinian crucible of survival to squander and save food depending on what's going on. It's hard for us to get our heads around the notion that there was a time when cutting down on food consumption, cutting down on the use of energy, was critically important to survival. Every species over time, just about every species, died of starvation. Almost every creature went through periods of starvation. Certainly all humans, up until very recently, went through regular cycles of starvation. Have to emphasize that, so important. Our bodies are designed to be profligate with energy when there's plenty of food around, plenty of game to hunt, and be very careful when there's not. When your body reads that there is game on the savannah or whatever it is, and plenty of things to hunt, he says, hey, that's excellent. We'll spend all the food that we got, send out energy to the bones and the muscles, to the signaling system, raise your optimism, make you keener and so on, make you all the stuff you want to be. But just as important, your body reads the absence of food. In those times of hardship, we're just as routine as times of plenty, and it shuts everything down. Shuts down the sending of, you know, lets the muscles decay, lets the bones get porous, lets the signaling system get on idle, just preserves the core of your heart and lungs and mind in hopes that maybe you live through to the spring and be able to reproduce. In the Darwinian period of survival, you know, if there was game afoot, you were moving all day long. There was no refrigeration, no place to put stuff. So you're always on the move. That's a strong signal to your body that things are terrific. You're out there hunting. When you sit down to watch TV, your body thinks, my heavens, the only reason not to move is there's no game out there. We better shut this sucker down. And it goes into emergency shutdown, lets your muscles and signaling system, almost everything, go to pieces while it preserves your core. It hangs onto the fat you've got, lets muscle and so on go, lets you go to pieces. In other words, our normal life in America today is a strong signal to our bodies that we are in deep peril, wants us to let much of our body go to pieces, hang onto the fat, and have a dreary, depressed time. What you may want to do is send false signals of hope to your body. It's a great idea, and it will work. Unfortunately, the false signals are all motion. The core advice in these dreary books, and it's awful hard to sell us, the core advice, the single piece of advice that's most important, is you really, really ought to exercise hard 6 days a week until the day you die, which day you can take off. It is a brutal prescription, and people go, they swallow and they shake their heads, but it really, really is true. When you think of the payoff, the difference in quality of life, it is just extraordinary, and it's well worth the agony. Let me spell out some details and try to sell you on this. Talk about two kinds of exercise which the signaling system sends to different parts of your body with different consequences. Aerobic exercise is enormously important. Harry and I urge you to do 4 days a week of serious aerobic exercise. We're talking 45 minutes once you get into it. Big stuff. How come? We are moving machines. All this skeletal structure, muscles, heart, lungs, blood, all designed to move. Huge commitment to motion. And we're stunningly good at it. But let me tell you, when you don't use that gadget for what it was designed for, things get buggered up pretty fast. If you don't use that circulatory system, your heart doesn't go bad. You have heart attacks, that's how it goes bad. Your heart's an amazing gadget. It can beat 4 billion times, and it's just as fresh as the daisy on the 4 billionth as it was in the first. That is not where heart attacks occur. Heart attacks occur in the blood veins and the arteries going to and from your heart. That's where the unpleasantness occurs. Gunk gets in there, builds up. When they go to pieces because you're sitting around, and then when they see idleness and they cut off energy and whatnot, it is in your capillaries and your arteries and veins that the trouble occurs. Junk builds up and so on, stoppages, blockages, pieces break off, go to your heart, ka-chunk, bad trouble. When you do serious aerobic exercise, you can rebuild that aerobic base. You really can. We think that we're like cars, too, in the sense that, you know, you got so many turns and you start to wear down the walls of the cylinders and you're cooked. Blessedly, not so. It is a living organism, and the more you use it, the more it likes it. You rebuild your aerobic base. This guy stands up and says, well, I must say that's all very interesting, but I think that a damn fine statin drug will do is the single best piece of advice. I asked Harry if that was right. He said, very, very.